Danger.
Yeah. This is Shutdown Sunday number 6. And the messages over the last couple weeks and this week even is dealing with real stuff that is happening in our life. You know, this is not educational stuff and stuff out there in the spiritual realms that just make no sense to us, you know. But it's real stuff, we have to deal with day in and day out. It affects each and every one of our lives. And we want to train ourselves to look to Scripture and see what God has to say. We've been told by the government not to go to church because of a national health emergency. That the church must close because it isn't an essential business. Do we comply or disobey? We're going to work on that question. So when to obey or disobey the government according to God. You know, not according to, you know, any politics or, you know, fringe group. We want to see what God has to say. So turn with me to Romans chapter 13. This morning we're going to be in Romans and Acts. Romans 13, verses 1 through 4. Are you there? Romans 13, 1 through 4. If you're not familiar with this chapter, this might come as a little bit of a surprise to you that it would even be in the Bible. Let me ask you again, are you there?
Amen.
Got a few more hallelujahs.
Amen.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. Ouch. Ouch. What? And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will not receive, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. Oh, cannot understand that one. I mean, we all have our favorite politicians we hate. And they're our minister for good. They're ordained by God. What? This is too much. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Wow, this is so hard to understand and believe in the environment that we're living in today. And we ask, you know, where do we draw this line? Is it evil to gather and assemble at church when the government tells us no, when they tell us to stay home because of a national emergency? This is a real life, real world question that we need to wrestle with in our spirit. Because not just for today's issue, but going forward. As we saw last week, we are called to be overcomers. And tougher times are coming. You understand? Tougher times are coming. And it's our job, it's my job, to equip you with faith that will allow you to stand, to be an overcomer. And that faith needs to come from God's Word. Is there anything we can find in the Bible that will help direct us on answering this question? And the answer is, yeah, there's a lot of things. But today, we're going to look at an event that happened back in the first century. Turn with me back one book to Acts 4, to your left. Acts 4. And we're going to read through verses 1 through 10. Acts 4, 1 through 10. To kind of set the stage, in chapter 3, Peter and John are coming up to the temple. And there's a lame man out in front, and apparently he had been out there a lot for many years, and he's out there begging. And they heal him through the power of God. This is on their way to church to worship God. This event happens. Now we pick up the story where they're at church. Verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, in other words, Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were sharing the gospel, teaching about Jesus, the difference between the law and grace, the old covenant, new covenant. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, these are the people that were in authority, that were in charge of the temple. They were the ones that were called by God to carry out the Mosaic law through the temple for the people. What's different then than what we have today is that Israel, they were essentially, God looked at them as a congregation, as a church. The people, the nation of Israel, the people that made up that nation, they were looked at by God as a church. And so the rulers of all of Israel were the priests. And that's just a little different, except that Israel was being ruled over by Rome during this time. But the everyday Jew will look to their priests and leaders for direction and all of the religious matters in daily life. All right, so the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. The Sadducees were a religious leader that did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Now keep in mind, that had just happened a couple months before this. They did not believe in the resurrection. And they did not like people preaching the resurrection of Jesus. It threatened their belief system. Moreover, it threatened their power. Verse 2. They were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Those 5,000, I am sure, did not go out and go hide in their home. No, they came together as a body, as a church, as an assembly, because they wanted to hear more. They wanted to share the word of God. Verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were in the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? What they're referring to is healing that man, that lame man in front of the temple. By what power, what authority? What are they really asking? They're saying, we did not give you the authority to do that. So by what power did you do it? Because they want to know if there's another power more powerful than them that is going to take over the church, the synagogue. They were threatened. not directly, but they were threatened by this fact that there was a power greater than them. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, filled with the Holy Spirit. At this point, he is speaking God's word, God's heart, to the leaders. He is not just rebelling and resisting for general purposes. And he said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let me pause there. Remember, we just read back in Romans 13 where the government is authorized by God to make sure we don't do what is evil, to make sure that we do what is good. And so they're asking, hey, wait a minute, why are you coming against us for doing a good deed? So we're in that same boat. Is it a good deed or is it evil to come to church? 10. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. So the story goes on. Let's pick up with verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, in other words, they were Christians. I think you get that joke. They were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed to them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name, the name of Jesus.
Shut down their Facebook, quick.
So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them. Because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So you see, in this situation, even back then, so shortly after Jesus was resurrected, the leadership, the governing authorities were trying to choke down, to stop this teaching, to stop worship with the threat of jail and fines, whatever they had in their arsenal. And Peter and John had to choose who to obey, which master to obey. Make no mistake, we just read Romans 3, government is our master. So the story goes on. They get arrested. An angel comes and sets them free from jail. And I don't know if we should count on that when we go to jail, but it happened then.
It could happen.
It could happen. It could happen. And so we pick up the story further down in verse 25 of chapter 5. And it says, someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. I thought you just arrested them. What are they doing out here doing this again? They're little slow learners. They're common, uneducated men. Verse 26. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set before them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Verse 29.
Does everybody need to hear that again?
But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." I maintain this is where we're at. So, in wrestling with this question, when to obey and disobey government. Most people would agree that forbidding basic human rights is evil. It's not right. So I think we would have an agreement there.
This country was founded on.
Amen. Just this last week on Resurrection Sunday, last Sunday, is that last Sunday? Yeah, they were. 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, okay. I'm calendar challenged. On that Sunday, in China, the government had a bulldozer come in during the service that day and bulldoze a church. That's just one of many, many stories going on around the world.
Not that far away here either.
So, again, how do we know where and when to draw the line? What is the evil that is spoken of in Romans 13? A couple of the phrases I see on Facebook, and if any of you have posted this, I'm not picking on yours personally. I don't know where I saw this. But, you know, be safe. Stay at home for the benefit of others. And empty churches, people deployed in their home. No way. No way. We are called to go out, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to heal the lepers. We're not called to be, you know, confined in our home.
Well, we went to Denver last week, and the lighted signs on the freeway, every single sign said that. Stay at home, be safe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we are having to wrestle with this. The government, which is our master, is telling us to do that. And we have to figure out how to navigate this. Of course, I'm showing you the way to get you arrested, but...
I don't think Benjamin Franklin said anything about staying home.
So, what are some of the measurements or the rulers or barometers that we can use to make some decisions here? Well, the first thing we should ask is, what does God say? What does God say about this? Of course, we've been reading some of the scriptures and the things that he has said, but I want to zero in. What would God say is evil? In other words, Romans 13 tells us, if we do what is evil, the government is there to punish us, right? So, what would God say is evil? And I think that we could clearly agree that anything that violates the Ten Commandments, God would say is evil, right? And if that were true, then closing churches would be defined as evil from God's eyes. What is the first commandment and the fourth commandment? Yeah, where's the worship God? And we're to do it regularly each week. On the seventh day.
What about the first commandment?
Yeah.
You know, thou shalt not kill.
That's not the first one, but...
But, I mean, and our government says, go ahead and kill unborn American citizens.
Yeah.
It's the law.
Yeah.
We know it's...
Excuse me. You know, the governor has just opened up all saloons in Colorado.
All right. Well, we're going to have a good afternoon then. So, I think God would measure what is evil and what isn't in part by the Ten Commandments, but then Jesus would take it a step further, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he say, hasn't he said, that physical violence, immoral behavior, abortion, carousing and drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, strife, jealousy, intentional laziness, all of these things are evil. And Jesus goes even further. He says, if we don't put our faith in him, that's evil. I mean, and you're assigned the place where evil goes. You know, those are things that are against God, right? So, does Romans 13 mean that? Romans 13 is talking about the government, what it defines as evil. There was an online comment that I read, I thought was pretty good. It said, the reality is that the politician is disobedient. When a nation is no longer Christian, it renders itself incapable of administering justice. We now have a problem. And what we see is the lawless administering punishment on the law abiding. Because good men do nothing. I thought that was profound.
Many of the founders in their written words say the same thing, and that's what they were trying to prevent. Our country coming to where we're at right now.
So, in Romans 13, is God asking us to obey an evil government? You know, you may or may not think that the American government's evil, but I can guarantee you, as you go around the world, many, many, if not most of the countries have evil governments, don't they? They have dictators. They have despots. And even back in Jesus' time, there was no America back then, and free government, you know, it was kings, rulers, pharaohs. So if the government says that we cannot meet in person, that we have to meet online, what is the believer to do? In the previous administration, they said, it's okay if you get together and worship just as long as you stay inside the church building. Do not take your faith outside of there. And now we're faced with a different thing. Close the church down, stay at home. Church is assembly, period. It's not the building, and it's not a bunch of scattered people all having faith. You know, we will all meet in heaven, and we are all going to be gathered up as the bride. But today, here, now, it's assembly. Ecclesia is assembly. If you get back to the Jews, they were a congregation, and they were assembled. So church is what one does as a believer, regularly. When we gather, there are things that we do together that we cannot do if we don't assemble. And that is why God tells us to not forsake gathering together. So, are we disobeying the government? Are we doing what's evil? Are we doing what's wrong? And here in our land of America, it was founded on a constitution, and we have civil rights. So we are gathering together. We are obeying the law of the land. We are obeying the Constitution, the civil rights. But we're living in a time when laws are being made that probably aren't constitutional, and certainly they infringe on our civil rights.
I hate regulation in business. I just do. And my default settings are set that way. And I struggle with this all the time. And I, through my mismanagement, did not turn in a whole bunch of well construction reports over a couple of years. And
this is being recorded.
That's fine. the state of Colorado jerked my chain over fining me for these reports, and it's up to probably about $3,000 now. Okay, just sent them an $800 check. And I'm trying to catch up with all of them. I hired a person last summer to try to help me with that, and it didn't really work out totally. And it's my mismanagement. Nobody else's fault, my mismanagement. And this last time, it took me 2 months to send them that check because I was smoking furious over it not being the fine that I see written down in the regulations. It was many times more. And I finally had a conversation with the chief well inspector of Colorado going, why are you doing this? I mean, I don't see it in the regulations. And he goes, there is a provision that I can send to you if you need to have it, that the Board of Examiners can find in addition if you're a multiple offender, a repeat offender. And it's like, and I had to suck down the fact of the authority of government, and I hated it. I still hate it, but I'm sucking it down. And on that, they're right, I'm wrong. And it is what it is. And, you know, it's a big lesson for me, and I need to do the right thing with our government powers, whether we have approved them specifically as people, we have set them up in power, and they make these bogus rules and regulations that we have to follow. And, oh, it's hard, but it's the way it is.
Amen. So, you know, that gets us to the point. We talked about things that belong to God. There are things that belong to Caesar, right? What is Caesar concerned about? The government is most concerned about being overthrown. They are concerned about taxes, whether they're paid or not. That's been since way, way back. They're concerned about mass violence because those uprisings lead to disorder in society, if not overthrowing the government. And government leaders are concerned about people disobeying their pet values and causes, whether they're legitimate or not. And that's where we're at right now. So, we have defined what things belong to God and what things belong to Caesar and the authorities that exist. And here's what I think we need to think about, is next time the church might be told to close for a different reason than coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Think about that. I'm not trying to overthrow the government. I'm not trying to teach you to be rebellious to the government. In fact, some of you know that you've worked under the table, and what do I tell you? Pay your taxes, right? So what we're trying to sort out is, what are things that belong to God? Give to God what belongs to God, and give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, okay? So we want to be obedient to the government until it causes us to disobey God. That's where we draw the line. So the next time the government may tell us to close down because of global warming, that may sound a little silly, But if you keep up on the news, they're already trying to do that. Science. In the last couple weeks, Christians have been attacked because we don't believe in science. So that value could be put on the church, that if you don't believe in all of the tenets of science, you have to close. Large groups. We already have a situation where they're looking ahead in the coming months and they're going to start limiting the sizes of groups. So big churches won't be able to gather. You know what's interesting? Back in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, do you know why the Jews were put into slavery? You know, remember Moses' freedom from Egypt? You know why they originally got into slavery? Because they were, what? Yeah, they were outpopulating the Egyptians. So they feared them. So they put them in as slaves because they were afraid if they get to be too many, they'll take them over. That's what government is afraid of. Sexuality and morality. There are many churches, many denominations, and cities, states, and governments are putting pressure on churches if they take a biblical view of sexuality and morality. If you don't buy into the secular view, they are kicking you out of their denomination, which may be a good thing. Or they're filing lawsuits against you, trying to take away your tax exemptions, things like that. And people literally are pressing to close down churches that don't buy into the secular view of sexuality and morality. How about martial law? Does anybody think that martial law might come possibly in the future?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is here.
To an extent, but not the way it can be.
Right.
There can be uprisings that are going to happen maybe next month, maybe 10 years from now, between liberals and conservatives. They're going to get out and they're fighting, you know, in the streets with weapons and people are dying. What's the government going to do? They're going to close down churches. This happened back in the early days. They would, Rome would do anything and everything to keep the Jews from rebelling and fighting in the streets. And as long as they didn't do that, Rome would let them do whatever they wanted to do. But once they started rebelling against that, Rome came in with the hammer. In fact, isn't that why Jesus was crucified? They tried to levy a charge against him, claiming that he claimed to be God. How could Jesus do that? Because that was a law that was against Rome. Only Caesar could be God in a Roman law.
Well, that's the Church of England is a great portion of the reason why America was founded.
Amen.
Same deal.
There is so much strife in our society right now. There's going to be uprisings. There already is, on people that are for the quarantine and people that are against it. There's going to be people that are, for one thing and against another thing, and they're going to be fighting, and they're already starting to do that. How far it'll go, I don't know. What about medical views? There's already regulations and laws being attempted to be passed. If you don't ascribe to a certain medical view, then you can't be allowed to go outside. Vaccines is one of them. It's kind of been a small playing field, but there are many. So we have to decide in our heart where we stand on this, on what's important to us, what belongs to God, what belongs to Caesar. And I can tell you that the church belongs to God, that each one of you, as people, you are God's children. You belong to God. You don't belong to the government. The government is our master until it infringes on that relationship? So, real issues, real life. Our government today has laws that are against God's law. And, for example, the government says it's okay to murder unborn babies. Now, we can choose whether we do that, we're going to obey that or not, right? Well, we can choose whether we're going to have an abortion or not. The government says it's okay to carouse and get drunk or stoned. We can choose whether we do that or not. The government says it's okay to be sexually immoral. There's no problem whatsoever having sex with somebody that's not your wife or your husband, you know, or even the same sex. It doesn't matter. The government, okay, you can do that. But we can choose whether we do that or not. And if the government says you can't discriminate against the sexually immoral in a way that's not actually discriminating, we run into a decision point. Are we going to obey God or the government? And if the government comes to say that Bibles, Christianity, and the church are illegal, we run into a decision point. We're not there today, but surely we can see that the government and our leaders have the capacity to say that, to try to press that down the road. So, the government does carry the sword, and like Peter and John, we may get arrested for doing what God tells us to do. And we have a decision to make at that time. You notice that Peter and John did it nicely. I mean, they didn't start a big uproar. They just said, yeah, we understand. Go to jail. But they didn't change. As soon as they got out, they're preaching again.
Even when Peter did cut the ear off of the one dude coming for him, then Jesus put the ear back on. So once again, being a peacemaker, trying to show Peter that's not the way you go about it.
Yeah.
And I have to learn from that.
Did Peter say, it's not my fault?
You know, we live in America, which is different than every other country around the world. And we have this principle here of separation of church and state. And it's usually used against the church. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, the state has told the church what to do and what not to do.
Oh, man.
And that's the situation that we're in today. So, I don't want you to walk away today to think this was all about the coronavirus and what we've been told specifically to do. I want you to look at the big picture and know that this is not going to be the only time you have to face this decision. So this is a real-world example and illustration that can shape our faith and maybe our Bible study and what we're going to choose to do and not to do. Mm-hmm. Amen. Kathleen.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Amen.
I wonder how all this came up early this morning. I was watching God Not Dead about Grace Whiting, you know, the teacher,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the way people were acting about, you know, when she mentioned Jesus in the classroom and the other teacher, what were you thinking, you know, and stuff. And all the trouble that she went through, but she stood her ground.
Amen. Amen.
Big time.
Javier, you had a...
Well, I was just thinking, when they, and this was religious people, in Matthew 22, 17, it says, tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is the religious leaders talking to Jesus? What do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, perceiving their wickedness, said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And when they heard these things, they marveled. You know, like with him, there's a lot of things with taxes, or I used to be a lead foot, but I'm still breaking the law. I'm going to pay it. But the things of God should be more important. There's people that are protesting because they want their jobs. But if our jobs are more important to us than following God, we got a problem.
See, I followed up when I was talking to the chief oil inspector. I should have had that passage on Romans 13, and I won't forget that now. The next time I talk to him, well, sure, it'll be a nice thing. Next time I talk to him, I was like, you know what? I need to read you something out of Scripture, which is really the only reason why I'm doing anything you guys want me to do. And read him that passage. And it's like, you know what? It's hard. But because I love and respect God and honor him, is why I'm going to suck up obeying whatever regulations you guys have. And when we refer it back to Scripture and God, that's just all the changes give us opportunity to be able to point to him. And we've got to figure out how to do that.
Amen.
It's almost reminiscent of back then, too, is we have so many laws these days. There's an entire profession where their only job is to memorize laws because we have so many. And, you know, we're expected to just somehow magically know them all. And, you know, kind of made me think of your situation. You know, you're expected to do this and do that. And, you know, even with some of the stuff I do, I have to Google stuff for my patent that I didn't even know existed. You know, and that's just for one tiny little thing, not my entire livelihood. You know, I can't even imagine all the hoops you have to jump through. And then there's lawyers. Their entire job is memorizing laws to help people who don't know them.
And the loopholes.
And to get around it.
But a great portion of when we get busted for something is, and the thing I struggle with is, what is your attitude? How do you deal with it? And that, if your attitude can be like Jesus, eventually Peter, okay, Daniel, okay, in Scripture, Joseph, who served under evil empires, how did those dudes do it? Okay? They were in corrupt, backstabbing, miserable places, and they all, God allowed them to rise to power for his purposes and for those specific times. Whoa! How do we do that?
But the Lord also said, hey, I'm God, and I've been beaten, I've been disrespected. You don't think they're going to have to do it to you? You know, we can't be so prideful to think,
exactly.
Well, he did it to our Lord. Well, no, I'm going to fight because I'm more important than our Lord. No, we're not. And he said, you know, if they slap you on the one cheek, turn the other cheek. If they tell you to go 1 mile, go the other mile. If they do evil to you, don't repay them evil for evil, but love. That doesn't mean, you know, just, you know, lay down. I mean, Paul and the apostles, they knew when it was time to run and hide, and it wasn't counted as a sin to them. But, you know, we have to be more loving than they are. I mean, if we know the Lord, we have to be forgiving.
Well, so we all want to be in a church, right? In the famous words of Hillary Clinton, what difference does it make? I can't think about that.
We were doing pretty good until we got to there. Keeping politics out of it. All righty. Well, let's stand up where we're at and pray for one another.